Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
This week on Columbia Calling, from here, me, your host, Richard McCall, in Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closer to the stars, we're going to be talking to Briton Carl Meek, who made a life here with his Colombian wife and subsequently moved back to the UK, but his work has been inspired. There are Colombian-inspired ventures. So this gentleman, Carl Meek, is imports prime Colombian coffee to the UK, has opened a coffee shop and a second one in Milton Keynes, central England, and also helps working with the Gladney Foundation in the United States about orphans. So tune in later on to hear me, Richard McCall, on Columbia Calling, talking to Carl Meek about his Colombia-inspired ventures. That's Columbia Calling later on today. Thank you.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, your online radio resource about life abroad.
Are you looking to invest, live, or retire overseas? Before you pack your bags, you need to log on to NagelLaw.com. It's the only stop you need to make for global business, asset protection, estate planning, overseas residency, and citizenship needs. Our experts have experience working in 41 countries around the world. Starting a business abroad can be overwhelming without expert help. We assist clients with foreign trust, foundations, corporations, LLCs, IBCs, and property acquisition. Need help with IRA assets abroad, capital formation, foreign securities issues, banking, brokerage, or finance needs? NagelLaw.com. We ensure compliance with U.S. tax and regulatory laws. We engineer global structures to help our clients achieve their personal business objectives. Get started today. To find out about our introductory personal asset protection plan, visit us online, NagelLaw.com. We represent capital overseas.
You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network, the exclusive online radio station for the expatriate community.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's Columbia Calling here in Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. And we're talking everything Colombia, as always. As you regular listeners out there will well know, we're talking all about Colombia. And later on, from the second segment of the show, we'll be talking to Briton Carl Meek. Carl is an interesting case because, well, we met years ago when he was living in Villeta and thought about opening a hostel. Now, we conversed about that, and I guess I gave him some advice, and in the end of it, he didn't open a hostel in Villeta. So it was 3 hours, well, no, a couple hours, hour and a half outside of Bogota. But anyway, he was living here for several years and had a Colombian wife and Anglo-Colombian children. And last year decided to move back to the UK. So we'll end up talking to Carl about that move, the move back from being an expat, and then what his Colombia-inspired ventures are at the moment. For those of you who read the blurb on our Facebook site, will of course know that Carl is co-owner of the Bogota coffee company and their cafes that they've opened in Milton Keynes. He also works with the Gladney Foundation, bringing formerly adopted children who've now grown up and they come down to Colombia. They could be from anywhere in the world. They come down to Colombia and lend their time in an orphanage here. So they're giving something back. So really interesting and quite inspiring to talk to Carl about these projects, about these ventures that he has going on. And I was happy to say that he came back. He's come back to Colombia for a few days to do this Gladney project here. And we got together. So we're getting together and we're chatting. And he's going to fill us in on his projects down here and let us know how it's all going back in the UK with his coffee venture. Well, it's Monday, the 21st of July. So yesterday, Sunday, was Colombia's Independence Day. Now, for those of you who don't know, the 20th of July is a 204th anniversary of Colombia's independence. So there were, the pomp and circumstance of military parades down on the Avenida 68 with, where the military base is, near to the U.S. Embassy and so on and so forth. And of course, the president up there on the podium talking about peace. But perhaps we're closer than ever at the moment to some sort of peace, hopefully a lasting peace, as we all hope and want and wish for here in Colombia. So that was a big deal. And as we're talking, it's the fallout from the World Cup too. We're now in that sort of vacuum after and the withdrawal. I've had many people commenting on how much they miss the World Cup now. But the big news in Colombian terms is James Rodriguez is pretty much as good as to go to be signed for Real Madrid. So it's a huge step up for him. And the other Colombian who's hitting the headlines is the goalkeeper, Ospina. Now, Ospina, who was phenomenal in the game against Uruguay, really standing up, holding his ground and thwarting several Uruguayan attacks. Anyway, he looks like he's going to be signed for Arsenal in the Premier League. So again, more Colombians in the Premier League. So this is always a good thing. And we wish them all the best, and we'll be following their exploits in Real Madrid and of course at Arsenal. So they all go through at the end. But if you've got to think about this, 204 years since independence, how far Colombia's gone and how far it's come. But if you think, I'm a friend of mine, a Colombian friend with let's say progressive ideals, is saying, we're still under the yoke of the Spanish, the Americans, and I would add, Chinese, and of course the 10 families that seem to control everything. So is independence a reality, or is it something that's just sort of a pipe dream? But I don't know how you ever get fully past that, the issue of being a former colony, of making up a part of an empire. I don't know how you get past that, because of course it's the struggle for identity, which is a continual issue here in Colombia, in Latin America, and of course in any, newly contemporary countries out of the colonial yoke. And of course, 204 years is not a long time. Now, so that's that side of things. And what can we do about that? So the first and foremost, Colombia needs a national symbol. What is a national symbol? And it's certainly not the Caribbean volteado, because that doesn't represent the whole country. And it's not going to be vallenato, because that doesn't represent the whole country, the music vallenato. Could it be the coffee? Could it be coffee? Coffee beans? Maybe. That tethers me in quite nicely, of course, because Starbucks opened up last week. That's their 62nd global market. That's Colombia. And of course, they've waited a long time to come into the market here because, of course, people have Oma and people have Juan Valdez, and people are proud here. Starbucks is seen as that, great big imperial multinational coming in. But I put this to you, the naysayers out there. Competition is good. We need competition here because we need service to improve. That's not to say that in many of the Omas and Juan Valdez around the country, service isn't great. But we need variety, and we need an evolution in business. That Starbucks waited so long to open this flagship in Bogota of three stories. It's the only three-story store cafe that they have. And they waited so long to do so is testament to, Colombian identity and Colombian independence from this type of market. So, of course, be proud of that. But at the same time, don't knock Starbucks. I mean, they've got a pretty healthy record on how they treat people and what they're doing and what they're trying to do. And which company out there, and no prizes for guessing, buys and has bought the most amount of Colombian coffee over the years? No prizes for guessing. It is Starbucks. You know, so now everyone's talking about the small coffee growers and so on. But friends of mine who are coffee cultivators, growers, have haciendas, fincas, most of them have thought this through and said, well, you know, this is going to wake the world up to the idea that there is a sophisticated market of coffee here in Colombia, not just the regular Starbucks stuff. You know, people are going to start looking for more eclectic, more special, more luxury, more tasty brands of coffee. And so that Starbucks will help open this up. Now, I don't understand why there's a queue around the block for people going into Starbucks. Maybe they're traveling vicariously, or maybe there's just a whole load of sort of, you know, homesick American exchange students. I will go to Starbucks. I will go and take a look. I will go and have a coffee. But it's up to one and all if they want to go. It's not something that we should be saying, no, they can't go. And because it's our identity, people are saying, you know, coffee bean. The coffee bean is our identity. And this is fine. But by that same rationale, England probably shouldn't invite anyone else to play in the World Cup because we invented the football. And football as a game, you know, that's the same sort of blind rationale. This is a globalized society nowadays. So you're not going to escape it. There's no way of getting out of this globalized society. So that Starbucks are looking to open 50 shops in the next 5 years in Bogota is massive and create up to 1,000 formal jobs. Of course, with people all having their pensions paid and health paid and learning the service industry are things that Colombia needs. So embrace it. You know, it doesn't mean you have to go every day to Starbucks. It doesn't mean you have to like it, but it's here to stay. You know, it's not going anywhere. It's too big. And so it's there. For those people who are interested, it's in the Parque 93, a trendy, very, very well-heeled barrio part of town. And that's where Starbucks is. So we'll be coming back. But before I do so, as always, you know, get in touch. It's Colombia Calling Radio. That's our website, ColombiaCallingRadio.com. And of course, you can get in touch through Gmail at ColombiaCalling@gmail.com. And we're on Twitter at Colombia Calling. We'll be back with Carl Meek talking coffee and talking various other projects, various other Colombia-inspired ventures that he has. I'm Richard McCall. This is Colombia Calling. Please don't go away.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
You've got questions about Colombia, and Escape Artist has answers. Is Colombia a good fit for me and my plans? How do I buy a house, find a job, find a doctor, start a business, invest in real estate? What should I know to better appreciate its history, its culture, its opportunities? What is it really like to be an expat in Colombia? You'll find your answers at colombia.escapeartist.com, your complete and trusted guide for living, working, playing, investing, and retiring in Colombia. That's colombia.escapeartist.com.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, the station to help you reach your dream destination.
And we're back. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall here on the Overseas Radio Network, and we've got Carl Meek as our special guest here on the show this week. Carl is, well, I would say he's an entrepreneur because he was in Colombia for a long time. He sorted out plenty of different... Hey, there's my dog again. He sorted out plenty of different businesses while he was here, but he's since returned to the UK, and what he's made is a real success out of a company called the Bogota Coffee Company. And now this, you can look this up. It's bogotacoffee.co.uk. Now, I guess you import coffee to the UK, special, you know, properly sourced, you know, all of the correct agenda that we need nowadays. And you've got a coffee house there in the hub in Milton Keynes. Milton Keynes, so a new town in England, north of London, I guess, a bit north of London. And how is it all going? How are these ventures going? The Bogota Coffee Company and the Bogota coffee house.
Yeah, it's going really well. Let me start by saying that I came to Colombia probably 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. When I first met my wife, we actually met back in the UK, and we spent some time in Brazil and other parts of Latin America. We ended up here in Bogota, and I immediately, fell in love with the place. So we spent some time here. We went back to the UK, and we eventually decided to relocate here. We had our first child, and we were a bit tired of life in London, and we wanted to change. So we decided to come to Bogota, come to Colombia, and start a new life here. While we were here, we had a second child. So we spent about 3 years here, eventually kind of decided that we wanted to go back to the UK, and I'll come to the reasons why and the rest of it. When we go back to the UK, we were looking for a business. We were looking for something to do. I wanted to start my own business. It's always been my dream to do that. While I lived in Colombia, as Richard said, I had some kind of business interest. I ran a tour company, which is how we originally met. Mm-hmm. Richard has a hotel, so I was in the tourism business. So we came... our paths crossed that way.
Yes.
So upon returning to the UK, we started thinking about different things. Now, what is one of the most famous things about Colombia, one of the best things Colombia has to offer? It's its coffee. So we got in touch with some coffee growers, producers, roasters here in Colombia, people who I already knew from my previous experience living here, mm-hmm. and we started importing. We imported quite a bit of coffee, and we started wholesaling it. We started working at farmers markets, events, different things, and it went quite well. But the wholesale side of it wasn't really economically that viable. Mm-hmm. I think there are a lot of roasteries in the UK and in Europe that are able to, because they're roasting there and because for various reasons there's different types of coffee and they're using blends and the rest of it, whereas what we were offering was a single origin coffee, which means it comes from one specific estate.
Yeah.
The wholesale thing didn't quite work out. We decided that there was a lot kind of more money to be made in selling wet coffee, i.e. cups of coffee. Uh-huh. So we started doing that. And from there, it kind of snowballed, and we decided to open a store. The Bogota Coffee Company was born. It's kind of about a year, maybe 2 years old now. We opened our first shop 6 months ago, as you rightly said, in Milton Keynes. And things have been going great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really, really well.
Now, Milton Keynes, would you say was ripe for an independent coffee store? Would you say that it would perhaps, you hit a niche market that was ideal?
I think so. I mean, we modelled ourselves on the independent coffee shop style, which there are a lot of in London and other major cities, New York, Paris, and other cities in Europe, even here in Bogota. And we wanted to bring that speciality thing to the home counties, as it were. We wanted to bring that out of the big cities and to where I'm from, which is kind of Hertfordshire, Bedfordshire.
Okay.
Milton Keynes is Buckinghamshire. So, yeah, we wanted to replicate that. As you know, Milton Keynes is quite a clinical city. It's a modern city. It's a big city. It's about 250,000, I think. And we're right in the kind of the business district there. There are a few chain coffee shops. So they're our only competition. We are the only specialty independent coffee shop in the city. Mm-hmm. And people seem to be liking it. What we're doing is we're offering, a very high quality product. All of our staff are trained baristas. They really know their coffee. They're passionate about it. We offer a brew bar, which means, there's lots of different types of methods we use for preparing the coffee. So, it's so far so good. People seem to be enjoying what we do.
Ah, so very successful, very positive reports out of Milton Keynes then. And would you say then, as we said, okay, Milton Keynes is booming probably business wise, I would imagine.
Absolutely, so, there are a lot of big multinational companies that have their base there. Including Red Bull, Santander. We've got a lot of Spaniards locally, so they seem to be enjoying what we do.
And in addition to coffee, you're offering cakes and all the other trimmings.
So again, we're working with local bakeries, local providers, and we're again trying to provide a really high quality product, excellent service, with a focus on speciality coffee. Obviously, we do sell a lot of other products. We've got tea. Ironically, we're here in Bogota right now enjoying a pot of tea, which is fine.
Yeah, which is fine because sometimes I get a bit tired, and after midday, I don't actually really like drinking coffee because it sends me a bit.
I mean,
haywire.
From a British perspective, you know, tea is an institution, and historically we are a tea drinking nation. But the culture there is changing very much. Our traditional pubs are closing down. Mm-hmm. People are socializing differently, so. You know, during the day, people are coming to the coffee shop they're bringing their laptops. We've got Wi-Fi, we've got plug sockets. So they're coming there to work, they're spending the afternoon, they're having their business meetings there. So that's kind of what's happening. You know, the coffee shop scene is definitely booming.
And do you put a limit on the Wi-Fi time like they do here in Bogota?
No, I didn't know they did that.
Yeah, in a couple of places. No, I'm not going to say one about this, so I'll probably get in trouble. But in a couple of places, they sort of say, yeah, you've got an hour.
Oh, really?
So no, people can't just nurse a coffee,
you know,
a thimble of coffee.
We don't really have that problem. We have really great customers, and you know, there are people that will come and they'll spend the afternoon, but they'll usually, you know, buy a few drinks and maybe have lunch. We do great sandwiches as well. So,
but I think also that's it's a European thing where you we've probably got it hanging over you that it's a pain of guilt if you're not buying enough to qualify your time there.
maybe
we're a bit more aware of this. Maybe I don't know. Maybe we're saying something else. Anyway,
the other thing to add is that we recently won the award, MK Food and Leisure Awards, best coffee shop in Milton Keynes after being open for 3 months. I think so. That was quite an accolade. We were very pleased with that. Thought I'd get that in.
I think you should. I think you should blow your trumpet on that one. I think that's very impressive. Mm-hmm. Now, listen. So, if you're thinking, I mean, if people are out there thinking of importing perhaps coffee to the UK, or in fact buying from a wholesaler, so look up the Bogota Coffee Company. So that's bogotacoffee.co.uk, and you'll get in touch with either Carl Meek or Paul Ashby. I think are the two associates.
Correct.
And of course, they're on Facebook, Twitter, etc., and all of the relevant social media that you could possibly want. Those are options. But also, if you're in the area of Milton Keynes, if you're going for a business meeting up at the Hub, so that's those of you who are working at Santander, Red Bull, and all the other multinationals that are based up there in Buckinghamshire, look up the Bogota Coffee Hub Company. So, with regards to the big the big chains, how are your prices?
Very competitive. So we're pretty much in line with the other coffee companies, i.e. Starbucks, Costa. Costa's the main one in the UK now, which I don't
really
know. Yeah, I think it's definitely the number one coffee chain in the UK, which actually started in a town called Dunstable, which is kind of close to where we are.
Yeah.
But yeah, very, very kind of competitive.
Okay.
Similar in price.
Well, that's important anyway.
The difference is that we do offer a kind of a wider range, I think, of drinks. So we've got, you know, one called a cortado, we have a standard flat white, we have macchiatos and other long blacks and so on and so forth.
Okay, well, it sounds like you're onto a success story there. It sounds like this is all going very well, and our hat is off to you for doing this, because it's not easy to go back, starters, and it's not easy to start a company. But you're always being brought back to Colombia, and then in the second segment of the show, we're going to talk to a little bit. We're going to explore why you keep coming back here, because for those of you out there who are not aware, you know, Carl, as I said, is an entrepreneur. He did have a tour company, but he's now organizing certain charity, let's say, I wouldn't even know how to put it. So we're going to come back in the second segment with Carl, and we're going to talk about his charitable activities here in Colombia, because I know a lot of you out there are interested perhaps in volunteering or getting involved. So perhaps this is something to listen to. I'm Richard McCall. This is Colombia Calling. Please don't go away.
Your expatriation destination. This is OverseasRadio.com.
Worried about rising taxes, costly insurance, out-of-control healthcare, economic decline, staggering debt, mortgages, and retirement? It doesn't have to be this way. Escape to Ecuador, one of the most beautiful countries on the planet, and at EcuadorAtYourService.com, be your guide. Ecuador has been named the number one retirement destination in the world 3 times in a row. So if you're searching for beaches, jungles, farmland, cities, affordable healthcare, and a richer lifestyle at half the cost, contact EcuadorAtYourService.com.
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. We're talking to Carl Meek. We've been talking about his cafe and his coffee company, the Bogota Coffee Company, and that's bogotacoffee.co.uk. But as I suggested at the end of the last segment, he also has charitable activities here in Colombia, and that's what's brought him back to Colombia this time. That's why we're seated here in Bogota chatting. Tell us about this. I guess relatively new outlet you've got.
It's not that new. I mean, I've been coming to Bogota, to Colombia, for the last 10 years or so. Prior to that, in a previous life, I was a non-qualified social worker. So my background has always been sort of, all my heart, I could say, is in charitable social work.
Yeah.
And I've always kind of had links with these things. You know, I first started out, I did a degree at university many years ago in media, which is totally irrelevant. And then I went on to work with people with learning disabilities. I then went on to work for charities that support people with mental health problems. I'm currently doing some work for an organisation back in the UK, which supports people that have drug and alcohol addictions.
Really?
So that's kind of my other day job as well. I have my fingers in many pies. The reason I'm here in Colombia now is because when I had a tour company here, I used to work with lots of different types of organisations, and one of the organisations I worked with was one called Gladney Centre for Adoption. They're based out of Texas in the United States, and what they do as part of their kind of humanitarian work, as well as kind of, you know, helping families adopt children from all over the world, children that need homes, is that they do field trips. Okay, so for the past 3 years, they've been coming to Colombia with me. And we have organized a trip for about 30 young adopted Americans, so American teenagers between the ages of 15 and 19. The people that are adopted from all over the world, so we've got people that came from Russia, from China, some from Latin America, from Colombia, from Guatemala, different parts of the world, some from, you know, domestic, from within the States. They're all American kids now, and they want to give something back. So they have enrolled on this course with Gladney, whereby they come to Colombia. We work at an orphanage for a week. So we go into this, what's called the San Mauricio Orphanage here in Bogota. Uh-huh. Okay, there are about 250 kids in there, roughly. Kids ranging from newborn babies, or very, very young babies, up to 16 years old. Okay, they all live there at the Fundación. It's called a foundation. They don't like to use the word orfanato here, which means orphanage. So it's a foundation, and it's linked in with an organization here in Colombia called Bienestar Familia. Anybody that spent any time in Colombia might have seen ads on TV during the afternoon. They usually pop up and you see these pictures of kids that have, you know, either been abandoned or whatever reason, they're in the system and they're looking to be rehomed.
Yeah.
It's one of the things Colombia does very, very well, actually, is look after its kids. You don't see a whole lot of street kids here. Generally, you'll see a lot of people in the street, homeless guys, people that have addictions and various problems, but children generally tend to get scooped up by this organization called Bienestar Familia. They're put into these fundaciones, these kind of orphanages, these big group homes, and they live there generally quite happily. These places aren't perfect, you know, they're difficult to run and manage, and remember, these kids, they're problem children. These kids have had a lot of difficulties. Their parents have abandoned them. Quite often you'll have brothers and sisters, whole families. And what these kids don't have is a family. So we come, we've come, this is the third year we're doing this now. We come, we bring about 30 people. We work with them inside the orphanage. We teach them, we play with them, we have fun. We also bring humanitarian aid. So the last 2 years we've bought, 250 pairs of shoes. So a pair of shoes for every kid. I have a suitcase at home full of, you know, England T-shirts. I was able to get them on the cheap somehow.
Of course.
But they love that stuff. And it's just, these kids don't have very much. So toys, shoes, all these kind of things we bring. It's a wonderful thing. I really enjoy it. I'm really pleased to be part of this. And I hope we continue to do it.
That's fascinating. Really, because it's interesting, because actually a few weeks ago, a girl who I had not heard from, who I went to high school with in the United States, you know, got in touch with me through Facebook, and I didn't recognize who she was because we hadn't spoken since 1996. And of course, her surname had changed because she's got married and whatever. And finally, I didn't accept this. I didn't accept this friend request because I had no idea who it was. But then this message came through: "That I'm so and so, etc., etc. I was adopted. I think you knew, but I was adopted from Colombia when I was 2 months old or whatever. And so she's thinking of coming down, you know, and tracing if she can."
There are some wonderful stories out there, and I remember listening to one of your podcasts with Marcella from the Sea Colombia Travel. Beautiful, amazing stories. Yeah. You know, people that. And I want to come on to this as well, because one of the wonderful, beautiful things about Colombia is its people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've had some amazing experiences here. You know, just coming on the bus here, there was a guy, I was with my brother, and we were speaking English, and the guy was so curious and interested, and he came and he started talking to us. I had the same experience last night. Since I was here last, they've changed the buses.
Yeah.
Normally you'd get on the bus and you'd pay your money, but now they've got these new ones where you need a card, but I didn't know. So I got on the bus. Oh, damn, I don't have a card. A lady jumped up from the back and I was like, "Hey, I've got a card," and you know, she helped me out.
Really?
And this is the thing, what they call the calor humano here, the human, you know, the warmth of the people is something else. So yeah, I don't know why I wanted to talk about that, but I guess just these stories, they're so emotive and.
Well, I think there's a great scale for this, especially when you think about, you know, the whole idea of the orphanage, and of course the conflict for so, you know, that's been 1958 pretty much is what we're talking about. And if you think, I just want to ask you a couple of opinions or a couple of things, if you can clarify for me. You were saying that at this fundación where you take these American children, and obviously an incredibly rewarding opportunity for them, but you take them there, and now the kids who are there, who are living in the fundación, are basically almost from newborns up to 16. What happens after they're 16?
This is a very good question. It's something that concerns me, and I'm looking to find out more about this, because I have an inkling that they there's nothing for them.
Yeah.
And it's something that, you know, alongside the coffee shop, we want to... So, for example, this year, out of our tips jars, we raised quite a bit of money, and we've got pictures and things up in the store there, and we try to raise money through the coffee shop. And one of the things I would like to see done is create opportunities for these guys, the 16-plus, who... I I'm not sure if it's the case, but I have an inkling that they just kind of get... put back out into the system, and, you know, these guys... probably don't have much of an education, they don't have many opportunities, so I would like to see or maybe even provide opportunities for these guys. Mm-hmm. So there's one or two in particular that I'm thinking of right now that are kind of coming up to that age, and I'm going to meet with them this week and find out exactly what it is they're planning to do, and whether or not we could potentially, you know, create opportunities for them, whether it's something here in Colombia, or even, you know, give them opportunities to come over to Britain or
wherever. Yeah. But they're not they're not adults at 16 here in Colombia. Under Colombian law, are they adults? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
It's got to be clarification tough. Needed on that.
Yeah. Now, and the other thing is, at the moment, I don't know if it's just the news at the moment, but certainly they're reporting a greater incidence of abandonment of babies here in Bogota, you know, newborns. I mean, it always used to pop up on the news here and there, you know, a newborn baby abandoned in a bin in a certain area of a sort of rundown area of the south, or anything. But it's been more and more frequent. Could you equate this to anything with your knowledge of these orphanages and social work? I don't know, because I don't have the answer as to why, but...
I don't either. I mean, and I haven't been here for some time, so I wasn't really aware of any increase in that stuff. But, you know, it's definitely a problem. It's a huge problem. And, you know, we can harp on this radio show and through other media about the wonderful things about Colombia.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's a poor country, and the divide between rich and poor is immense. And there are people out there in this city, you know, I can step out of this door right now and walk past people that don't have shoes, people that have nothing. And if you don't have shoes, how are you going to provide for a child? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's still a Catholic country. You know, there's still quite old-fashioned kind of ideas about certain things. Excuse me, that's my phone.
That's all right. That's all right.
So, I mean, I don't know exactly what the reasons behind that would be, but it's an ongoing issue for sure.
Now, will this project, this charitable project, will this increase? Are you going to bring more groups, youngsters over?
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, I'd really like to see to see it grow. Absolutely.
And you've had feedback from the American kids themselves. I mean, they love it.
Absolutely love it. There are one or two that I said mentioned that were born in Colombia. They don't speak Spanish. They've grown up in the UK. They were adopted from a year, very young age. And for them to come back and see the country they were born in and see, you know, that could have been me, for example. They, you know, they were lucky. And I think the law has recently changed that it's now harder to adopt children outside of Colombia. So American families or from other countries that do want to adopt can't. Mm-hmm. You know, it's children under 8 or 9 years old now, it's very, very difficult.
Yeah, my friend, for example, what her parents, her adoptive parents from the States know is that she was basically on a plane with a representative from the orphanage. Mm. We know which orphanage in the north of Bogota. Mm. And essentially they're just handed over at the airport at JFK at like 2 months old, you know, basically that. It was like, you know, I think, God, I mean, it's just, you know, a heart-wrenching stuff.
Yeah, there are some incredible stories out there.
Well, anyway, you're doing a good thing. And I was just curious, I mean, do these kids then, the American kids, stay in touch with some of the students?
Yeah. So there are some kids that, this is the third year we're doing this, some that have been, you know, all along, and they keep coming back.
Oh, yeah?
Absolutely, they do, yeah.
That's pretty big. That's a big deal to come back, to spend time at your summer holidays.
They really love it, these guys. And they're privileged kids. A lot of them have been adopted by wealthy families in Texas and in the States. Sure. And so for them to give something back and realize that they were lucky, you know, what they received was something, you know, really great. They're great kids, actually. They come and they don't speak Spanish. They come here and they communicate and they spend a lot of time with these kids. They raise their own cash as well. They do little projects and sponsorships and things.
That's excellent. You know, uplifting and also life-changing experiences. And to really understand where you come from or where the type of background you come from, for example. Well, I think this has been really interesting to talk to you about this. I think, is there any way that people, if they wanted to contribute to the orphanage or to this Gladney Foundation, they can do so? Is there a website?
Yeah, one of the things I kind of, when I was here and I was running a tourism company, we started getting into doing some sort of voluntary stuff, and you know, people that wanted to come, and there are organizations already that do that. It's something that I would be interested in doing more of in future. So please, I mean, if you want more information or if you're interested in doing this in the future, do contact me. You can get hold of me, as Richard said, via the Bogota Coffee website. There is email and stuff on there, so
okay.
Feel free.
So that's bogotacoffee.co.uk. We're going to take a short break and we'll be back again with Carl Meek talking further about his life and times here in Colombia. Thank you for listening.
Live call-in shows and hosts from your favorite countries. This is the Overseas Radio Network.
Tired of paying for traditional advertising? Sick of pouring money into SEO and questionable marketing firms? Looking to reach a new audience? We know you want to grow your business and directly engage your customers and clientele. Podcasting is the way to go, and Podfly has your solution. Whether you're a blogger, writer, business owner, entrepreneur, or service provider, Podfly makes it easy for anyone to have a professionally produced and distributed podcast. No radio experience or technical ability? No problem. In 3 easy steps, you'll be on your way to having a professional-sounding podcast and an exciting new platform to promote your business. Podfly's top-class support team guides you through the process to make podcasting easy, fun, and most important, have you sound your best. Get started today at podfly.net and let's get your message truly heard. Podfly.net, passion for great-sounding podcasts.
From China's Great Wall to the Leaning Tower of Pisa, this is the Overseas Radio Network.
And we're back. We're talking to Carl Meek. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. We've been talking first in the first segment. We talked about Carl's work with the Bogota Coffee Company. The second segment with the Gladney Foundation. It's very, very impressive work you're doing with orphans or whatever. You know, now no longer orphans and orphans and so on and so forth.
Yeah, it's very early day stuff, but you know,
you have to start somewhere.
Yeah,
you know, and the fact that you've been doing it for 3 years is very positive. That is something. You're doing something. You're hopefully, you can point towards social change. You know, this is a deal because you're humanizing a situation. Now, you left Colombia. We're going to move on here because this show goes out to a lot of expats and people thinking of being expats. Yeah. I've got a few listeners out there. I get quite a lot of downloads. Even some of my downloads per week, you know, exceed 6,000. So you can get a message out there. And so you left Colombia. Now, I remember one of the tales you told me is that, of course, it was becoming hard to educate your son. He was just he's just getting an age. And he ended up, despite speaking fluent English, failing the English class at the school that he was at, because of course he didn't answer the questions as per was requested by the exam, but it's because he was bored, basically, I think. I don't know. Anyway, so you've gone back to England. You did used to have a website called Mr. Gringo, so it was MrGringo.com, which was, you put it very well as being, and that was your outlet for the frustrations of being in Colombia.
It was a therapy for me. Nothing more. I'm by no means a journalist or a writer. And kind of that's how our paths probably crossed a little bit as well, because I probably looked up to Richard and admired his work, so I probably, wanted to emulate that in a way, but far
flattery will get you everywhere. Exactly. But tell us a little bit about your, let's say, 100 absurdities in Colombia.
All right, so let me just go back and tell you about the kind of why we left. So you're absolutely right. I have a son who was born in the UK. We came to Colombia when he was a year or two old, and we started educating him here. Now, he was born in the UK, speaks perfect English, and of course now speaks perfect Spanish. He was going to a school. He started school here in Colombia, and yes, he failed his English class, which really pissed me off, because he speaks perfect English and he spoke better English than the teachers. We were paying quite a lot of money for him to go to this school. It was supposedly a good school. That was kind of one of the main reasons we left, was literally for our children's education. Education standards here are okay if you can afford it.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's all private,
yeah,
as is healthcare. So that's another reason. Living here in Colombia can be quite expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of these blogs and media and these things that we have out there for information on Colombia are very positive. When I got on the plane from Heathrow, I got on one of the first direct flights with Avianca. As soon as I got on the plane, there was music playing, and it was "Go Go Colombia."
Yeah.
And there was a video on. Did you know we have the most beautiful orchids? We have 500 species of butterflies. Did you know? We have two oceans. You don't need to shout about this stuff. I know Colombia is a beautiful country. Yes, it's great. And I'm all for promoting the benefits of it, but there are a lot of problems here too. And I keep it real. I had this website called Mr. Gringo, which absolutely was just nothing more than an outlet for me. It was an opportunity for me to rant and complain about the things that annoy me here, and there are a lot of them. I wrote an article called 100 Absurdities of Colombia.
Yeah.
I won't go through the all.
No, you can't. It's not time to do the 100.
Oh, okay. But I mean, a couple of examples. One of them is hot seat syndrome. You know what that is?
Oh, yeah.
So you get on a bus, okay, you or I sit on the seat, okay? Colombians don't sit straight down. They will hover over the seat for a good 30 seconds to a minute.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know.
Apparently, they think they're going to catch something. Okay. They think right. there's it's an anal worm or something. I think it's something along those lines.
Oh, well, that explains it.
which must be prevalent here in Bogota.
Another example. Have you heard of the deadly Sereno? Sereno.
No.
Have you seen women walking around the streets of Bogota at 5, 6 p.m. covering their noses? Have you seen kids with balaclavas?
Yes.
Apparently, there's a deadly, deadly wind called the Sereno, which, if it gets into your respiratory system...
But that's... Isn't that just like the dew?
However, if you light a candle and you put a frog next to it... No, this is... I mean, it's just a superstition and this kind of stuff, which really kind of winds me up. There's all these kind of crazy things that people do. My wife still does it. And yes, she's not really a practicing Catholic, but every time she goes past the church, she's got to make the sign three times and kiss her hand and all this stuff. Arepas. We've got to talk about arepas.
Oh, God, okay.
There's a wonderful food here called pollo asado. So I go out and I love this. It's spit roast chicken and it's really great. And they give you these salty potatoes, which again is okay. But why they give you these little white frisbees? I don't get it. There was a story once about a guy who bought the pollo asado. He didn't eat the arepas because nobody does. he left them in his apartment and with the chicken bones and stuff. He went out and apparently there was an ant infestation. They got in, they ate all the chicken and all the potatoes and all the stuff. They left the array, but even the ants wouldn't eat it, you know. These things are so bland.
It's stodge to fill you up. It's kind of like workman food, isn't it?
I guess. I mean, the food here is a real, you know, bugbear for me. I have difficulty with the food. Colombia, and you know, I'm from the UK, so we can't really shout about our cuisine either. But Colombian food is not the best. You know, they're not. No one's going to open a Colombian restaurant in Paris or New York anytime soon.
Well, I don't know. I think you're going to find Colombian restaurants in Flushing, up in Queens, in New York, where all the Colombians
are. There are a couple. There's a copy of Andres Carney the Race in Queens. I've been there. Apparently the roof leaks, but let's not go into that.
I'm sure it does at Andrews too, but I don't know. That's another story. But you've stopped the Mr. Gringo website.
Oh no, the I mean,
since you went back to the UK,
since I went back to the UK,
you're calmer now.
Yeah, I guess
you've got over it. You're past it.
We're very happy living back in the UK, but I have to say, you know, I absolutely adore Colombia. I keep coming back. This is my second home. We have property. We have homes here,
mm-hmm.
And I will keep coming back. I love the people. They're so warm. You know, so friendly. I've had experiences where I've been walking down the street in pueblos and towns and other parts where people, strangers, you never met them, they'll invite you into their home for mm-hmm. lunch. And it's, you know, that's not uncommon. My brother's here right now and he's having the same kind of experience.
Mm-hmm.
The people, Colombia really is passion. You know, there's this kind of, I don't know if it's still running, but there was this promotion from the tourism board about the risk is wanting to stay.
Mm. Yeah, we've moved on to magic realism.
Oh, is that what it is now?
It's now magic. I think it is. Now it's now whatever. But like what you were saying about the Avianca flight and that, the Go-Go Colombia things, I think if I'm on the flight to Colombia, I'm already aware that there's a billion different types of
amphibians. I mean, the thing is, it's a country with a very low collective self-esteem, okay? Colombian people generally very patriotic, they love their country, but they're also secretly ashamed of it. The country's got an ugly past. Let's not hide from that. What they need to do, in my opinion, is acknowledge it. Okay, mm-hmm. There needs to be a Pablo Escobar museum. I know it's very recent and probably, you know, it's still quite raw, but these things need to be acknowledged. We can't keep burying our heads in the sand here and pretending that they don't happen or that they are still existing. We need to acknowledge it and we need to confront these things. The great capital that this country has is its people, wonderful, beautiful, you know, caring people. Let's, you know, forget about the orchids. Let's focus on that. And, you know, the word is, you know, I've worked really hard, as you have too, Richard, over the last few years, you know, promoting this country and the beautiful benefits that it has. And I will continue to, but we've got to keep it real as well. You know, Colombia, it has, this is a joke, a thing I always come to, is, you know, yes, it has beautiful orchids. It also has the most prolific paedophile ever in history.
Oh, God.
You know, there are these kind of things. They're, you know, they are there for everybody to see. And let's just keep it real. I've lost some friends, you know, from in the past, you know, people that really even won't even talk to him anymore because I've, you know, been honest and I've said what I think about it, how I feel. Yes, Bogota is sometimes it's been known as the Athens of the South, but mm-hmm. it can also be, you know, a crap hole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the streets are dirty. There's guys begging just about everywhere. You won't be able to walk down the street without being accosted.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of kind of
delinquency.
And tremendous poverty. Mm-hmm. So it has to be acknowledged and work is being done. You know, even each year I come back, I see, you know, things changing, things are improving.
But it's true. It's exactly true what you say. You know, you take the good with the bad, and you also have to, you know, draw some light onto the negative to be able to change it. It needs Colombians, you would say, need to acknowledge some of the realities. It's not all. I get comments on my blog when I do something relatively negative. You know, usually Colombians saying, "Oh, you know, gringo, go home" or whatever. It's like, all I respond is like, "Sigh." It's not about going home. It's about addressing a situation.
This is our home too, you know. I mean, I don't live here anymore, but I still see it as my second home. This is your first home. You've lived it for many years. We wouldn't be here if we didn't love the place. We care about it deeply. We want to see things change. We want to see, you know, less corruption in politics and all the rest of it. You know, but it requires a level of acknowledgement. You need to own up to the issues and not keep telling yourself that you've got, 500 species of butterflies in one state or whatever it might be.
Well, it's that. And then if you talk about this Pablo Escobar Museum, it's a heinous character. But what is the most visited section of the police museum here in Bogota? It's the Pablo Escobar room.
Of course.
And that's where everyone is directed. Mm-hmm. That's what they want to see. It's gruesome. It's horrific. Mm-hmm. But it's also the most informed, because all of the police can talk about it as well.
It's a fascinating history, the things that have gone on here over the last 50 years or so, and are still going on. There's some really, really incredible stories, mm-hmm. And that's what people are interested in. It's the same in London. What's the most visited, the most popular tourist attraction? It's the Jack the Ripper tour.
Well, the walking tour, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, people flock in their thousands from all over the world to go on a Jack the Ripper tour. You know, I'll give you that was probably, 200 years older than Pablo Escobar or whatever it is, but...
But equally, it's been something of myth and legend for that long.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always been talked about, and people still flock to the London Dungeons, which is a pretty macabre place. I mean, you can say that. And why do they celebrate the Tower of London, where the, young kings were locked up in, and also people were beheaded? Or, Tower Bridge, where they used to put the heads of their opponents on stakes there, on spikes and so on. So, I don't know. Maybe it's a little bit of a maturity that's needed.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Colombia has so much to offer in terms of tourism. It's lacking in infrastructure.
Yeah.
And it's lacking in a lot of things. But I wouldn't discourage people from coming here. I absolutely adore the place. I keep coming back. It's a beautiful country, beautiful people, so much variety. And as I say, Colombia really is passion.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that comes here, for whatever reason, will be guaranteed to have a really unique and wonderful experience. And partly that is owed to the fact that it's not saturated with tourism yet. When you come here, you still are able to get a real, off-the-beaten-track experience. So I would highly, highly recommend
it. You feel a pioneer, You feel like you've been an adventurer.
I do, and certainly we're in the barrio here of Chapinero. This is absolutely my favourite mm-hmm. barrio neighbourhood here in Bogota. And when you walk out onto the streets, there's a buzz, there's mm-hmm. an energy, there's stuff happening here.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that. And I don't know what it is. There's a very large young population here. There's a lot of students, a lot of young people that are doing things, creative minds. And you go out there and you see this kind of really eclectic graffiti and all these cool things that happen on the streets, in amongst the dog shit and the other things that you have to step around. That's what I love about it. It's mm-hmm. it's a mishmash. It's interesting. You do not get bored here. I can take a walk down the street in Chapinero now, and I was showing my brother. There's a guy there selling aloe vera. That's the latest craze. All these kind of weird and funny and crazy things that you can see. Curanderos, guys that are kind of from the Amazon or Putumayo, different regions, and they're selling their stuff. Did I say Putumayo? Sorry,
Putumayo.
To correct. Yeah,
it's all right.
That's a
Freudian slip. Yeah. That's all right. Well, listen, Carl, thank you very much for your time. You've really shared some insight, and of course, and we wish you all the best with your various projects: the Bogota Coffee Company, with the orphanage, helping the north, hope that you'll continue to come back to Colombia and continue, perhaps, to come back on the show and tell us how things have developed with various projects. So listen, if you want to get in touch with Carl, let's just go through the website bogotacoffee.co.uk. I've been Richard McCall, talking to Carl Meek. This has been Colombia Calling. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
This podcast was produced in part by podfly.net. Podfly, passion for great sounding podcasts.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.